Choose for Health. The Chewable Dietary Supplement presents To Your Good Health, hosted by Dr. David Friedman and Melanie Cole.
Today we have with us cardiologist and author of the book that has swept the nation, exposing the dangers of eating wheat. His recent appearance on the Dr. Oz show left the audience speechless. Welcome New York Times best-selling author of Wheat Belly, Dr. William Davis. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Davis, thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
I'll tell you, this is a fascinating topic because everybody listening has been ingrained, and pun is intended, that whole grains are loaded with nutrients and fiber, which is supposed to help us lose weight, and here you are now saying it contributes to weight gain. Tell us why.
Well, that's true, Dr. Friedman. That is, whole grains are filled with fiber and B vitamins, but that's where the truth ends. Because agribusiness has been very busy. They've been very busy changing our grains. So it's not just wheat, it's also corn, soy, and other grains. But wheat in particular has been the recipient of extensive change. By the way, these are changes that predate genetic modification. Ironically, the wheat trade groups and the wheat lobbyists who are up in arms about this whole thing say, oh, Davis is crazy. Wheat has not been genetically modified. Well, no, I agree. It has not been genetically modified. The techniques, the methods used to change wheat into its current 18-inch tall, high-yield semi-dwarf strain, predate the methods of genetic modification using crude and imprecise techniques that are in many ways worse than genetic modification. And so we now have this product of genetics research that stands 18 inches tall. It's very, very different. You know, you can't change a plant in such a fundamental and drastic way and not expect changes in its effects on humans who consume it.
Right. Now, did our great-grandparents eat healthy wheat, and then modern day it's we've ruined a good thing, or how far back does this go?
It goes back about 50 years. So okay. The efforts to change it goes back about 50 years, but it really didn't become a problem until about 1984, 1985, because that's where American and Canadian farmers really wholeheartedly embraced the high-yield semi-dwarf wheat. When they first saw it in the late 70s, they thought it was weird-looking, and so they didn't really embrace it. When they saw the incredible boost in yield, if you're a farmer trying to scratch out a living, and you're getting 8 or 9 bushels per acre, and the guy down the street is getting 80 or 90 bushels per acre with his new semi-dwarf strain, you're going to start doing the same thing.
Exactly.
That happened in the early to mid-80s. So by 1985, when you went to the grocery store, everything you bought was from the high-yield semi-dwarf strain of wheat. Now, wheat has always been a problem for humans, so it's not as if it was completely good and then turned out. It was always a problem for humans. It just became incredibly worse with these changes introduced.
But that is why. Now, you say in your book that wheat raises blood sugar higher than nearly all other foods, and you include table sugar in candy bars. Now, Doc, discovering that had to be your biggest wow moment. How on earth can wheat crackers make your blood sugar spike higher than a Snickers bar?
Well, it's in all tables of glycemic index. The glycemic index of whole wheat is among the highest of all foods. And you can test, people can test that themselves. All you need is one of those glucose meters and a finger stick device, of course. You can buy these things for $10, $20, or even get them free from a lot of your doctors, right? And you can test the blood sugar an hour after you consume any food. So if you eat a Snickers bar, for instance, check a blood sugar prior, and then after, you'll see it goes up because there's lots of sugar in a Snickers bar. But you kind of knew that. How about slices of whole wheat bread? You'll see your blood sugar go up higher than the Snickers bar. And so I use that to help people deal with blood sugars. And lo and behold, you take wheat out of the diet, and blood sugars plummet. Now, the other thing to know about wheat, among the many things that have been changed by the antics of agribusiness, is a change in the gliadin protein. And gliadin is now an opiate that stimulates the appetite center in the human brain. And so people who are exposed to this form of wheat in 1984, 1985, increased their calorie intake 400 to as much as 800 calories every day, 365 days per year. And that coincides perfectly, by the way, with the explosion in weight gain, and then after a lag of several years, because it takes several pounds before you show diabetes, then followed the incredible surge we all know about, the epidemic of diabetes.
Yeah, this is astounding because, as we mentioned in the last segment, how fiber is notoriously keeps you not wanting more food, but the fiber that's in wheat does the opposite. It's you saying that it makes you crave more.
It makes you crave more. It doesn't make you crave more pork or salmon,
right?
Or broccoli. It makes you crave more junk. It makes you crave more donuts, cookies, cakes, candy, and chips. And so it creates an unwitting, helpless consumer of junk processed foods. And that's exactly what has happened. People say, oh, I have a sweet tooth, I can't help myself. No, what they have is a wheat tooth. Because
wheat
tooth. If you take the wheat out of the diet, people say, you know what, I thought I had a sweet tooth. When I stopped eating the wheat, I lost all my desire for sweets. I no longer crave the ice cream and candy. In fact, if I have it now, it tastes sickeningly sweet. It's a very, very common observation in people who are wheat-free.
Wow. What are some products that have hidden wheat in them? I know a lot of people might say, oh, I just won't eat wheat, and they'll look and they think they're not eating wheat, but it's possible that they are and they don't know it.
Oh, a critical point. I'm glad you asked that because, as you know, there are obvious sources like rolls and pancake mix and bread, but there's
right.
plenty of hidden sources like taco seasoning and Twizzlers licorice. And virtually all frozen dinners have wheat, as do salad dressings and breakfast cereals. In fact, your listeners are going to be hard-pressed to find any processed food on the supermarket shelves that do not have wheat in them. Now, I don't have proof. This is my admittedly raw speculation.
Right.
I think the food industry figured this out 25 years ago. But rather than tell you and tell me so we could tell our patients, they kept quiet and said, let's put it in everything so we can stimulate appetites, so we can stimulate sales.
Money, yeah.
Money.
That's amazing. Now, what if our listeners hearing this, they say, all right, no more wheat for me, and they remove it from their diet. How much weight can they expect to lose if they just say, no more wheat?
What's important to know first, that 35 to 40% of people, because of this gliadin opiate in wheat, will experience a wheat withdrawal syndrome. It's nausea, anxiety, fatigue, headache, and even depression. It usually lasts 3 to 5 days. It's not fun. It's almost like having the flu. And I don't know any way around it except to grin and bear it. It won't hurt you. You won't be happy, but it won't hurt you. And you come out of it usually after 5 days, and you feel wonderful. So weight loss can be a little bit sketchy in those first few days when you're experiencing withdrawal. But once you're through it, weight tends to drop off like crazy. A typical experience is about 15 pounds, 18 pounds in the first month. It varies, as you know. If you're a 290-pound male, you're going to lose weight at a different rate than a 150-pound
right.
female. But a typical response would be about 15 pounds in the first month. It does tend to decelerate over time, but there seems to be this outsized loss of visceral fat, that is belly fat. So people might lose only, say, 12 pounds in the first month, or maybe 18 pounds, but they'll say, but my waist shrunk 2.5 or 3 inches. It's an astounding disproportionate loss in visceral fat. I can only speculate why that is, because those studies haven't been done, but it's a very, very marked effect in loss of visceral fat. Over the course of a longer period, like 6 months or a year, we've now seen many, many people lose 70 pounds, 90 pounds, even many people over 100 pounds just in
wow,
a year's time.
Wow, fascinating.
Well, thank you, Dr. Davis, for this very eye-opening information. For more information or to purchase Wheat Belly and the Wheat Belly Cookbook, visit Dr. Davis's website at wheatbellyblog.com. That's fun to say, Wheat Belly Blog. If you want to share Dr. Davis's Wheat Belly segment, you can download a podcast of this show at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at hashtag Dr. David Friedman. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. And just have a great day and stay well.